Guy like me, and I know I am, you know nothing breeds success. Like live from the five hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter's official weekly sort of podcast. I am Sam Fells, said writer and editor of that newsletter, and the host of whatever the fuck this is that we do most every week. I'd say we bat over 500 in the amount of weeks we do this. We are here. It is almost the end of training camp and preseason and all that other shit. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation as we gear up for the best show of the year. We're almost there. You can feel the excitement. The air is palpable. So, leading off, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. He is Dr. Viral, and he is the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Stop showing me Sophie Cunningham. Stop it.
Yeah. Who wants that?
It's like a skeleton with a wig on. I don't want to see it anymore. Get it out of my
bigoted skeleton with the wig.
She'll be out of the league in like a year, right?
Oh, yeah. She'll be on a network.
She can't play. So.
Well, the league doesn't seem to know what the fuck it's doing, so...
No, they're pretty helpless.
It's quite bad.
It is. So, but at least that's a league with a very strong players union who will probably direct them on what to do.
Certainly.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. You've already heard his dulcet tones. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, as well as Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne. By the way, I saw on my deals page that Wayne's World is on sale 4K disc for only $11 today, so jump
on that. Do people still buy 4K discs?
I do.
Yeah?
Many people, Sam, are physical media collectors now.
Yes, I know that's coming.
Taking it all away.
I didn't know if
movies
had come back.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, big time. Big time.
So, but we're
our mutual
DVDs,
friend Josh
at...
is very much a DVD buyer.
So am I. Have been for a couple few years now.
You know, I have never been a DVD buyer. I just, having grown up being a flipper on TV, I don't go back to the movies I own. All the movies I would own, if I stumble upon them on cable, I will watch them.
I'm with you, Sam. I don't need to watch a movie again.
Yeah, but I'm more. I'm kind of like the radio station experience.
Enough. Got something new.
Last and maybe least, he is the Goal Line Assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. He's also the Archivist. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
Sam, I am also in the same boat with you, except when it comes to movies, that is, and owning them. Except that we had like a massive DVD collection and we never watched a single one of them. We would just buy them to have them.
What I found when I was buying DVDs. I'm like, oh, I should have a certain number of my favorite movies on hand just in case, maybe to show people.
But I never watched them.
And it never happened.
No, never.
Same.
Never,
which,
ever,
of course,
ever.
Led to one of my more well-known bits about when my house was broken into and all my DVDs were stolen except for Bullworth.
They didn't want that?
They didn't want it. They left it on my bed.
They didn't know.
You should have bought the soundtrack. That's what people want.
Great.
Or they did know, and they decided to do you a solid and left you that one there.
Yeah. It's like when you get mugged, but they leave you $20 to get home.
Right. They broke into your car and left you Nickelback tickets.
Hey.
All right.
So John says he's got a full yellow pad. I don't know how much of Bears Bengals he watched, more than he probably should.
Oh, let me paint a picture for you, Sam, of my Saturday.
Can you? Please.
Yes. A very orange picture.
A very orange picture. So
orange
and blue. We were actually in your stomping grounds. We were at Burning Bush.
Okay,
By Cracky.
By.
And so we were one of Char Dog's quote unquote friends.
Does Chardog actually know who this person is?
Yeah, well, there's a 2-year-old that she's friend. That
or does she have fake friends already at 2?
I'm going to let people in behind the curtain of what the relationship between the four of us is like in real life, not just about sports. As some of you might know, I know nothing about children.
Less than nothing.
I have no nephews. I have no nieces. I will not at this point. I have honorary nephews and nieces, but that doesn't really count. So whenever Slack and John talk about their children, I tend to ask questions because I don't really know. And then John and Slack treat me like the stupidest person on earth. So when I ask, can 2-year-olds recognize each other? Do they know that, like, they have seen this person before and I enjoyed being around with them? Do they know that?
Yeah, I think so.
Come on.
It's called object permanence.
Okay.
Probably knows people at this point. Anyways, 15 months.
Usually it is by
betrayal. Did she tell you that?
You can tell by the look on her face.
Yes.
Okay.
And like, she also
for example,
knows
if my dad shows up, she goes fucking mental. She says, get the hell out of here.
Chardog.
That might just be an overriding power that transcends all normal rules of nature.
That's right.
Chardog knows her name, so she calls her by name. So yes, I think she recognizes her. Anyway, so we had a get together at your stomping grounds at Bernie Bush on Saturday.
Because all the day drinking alcoholics love it when toddlers are hanging out in their well lit bars.
Buddy, we were far from the only toddlers in the building. I think it was.
I'm sure you weren't.
All toddlers. It was basically a hyper kids brewery that we were at on Saturday. We were hanging out with the parents. I had never met the parents of her friend. Right, exactly. Andrew knows where this is going. So I'm talking to them and not really paying attention to the TV because I was like, you know what? This is a preseason game. Ben is not going to be playing anybody. There's no reason to really pay attention. I'll keep half an eye on it.
Hashtag who care.
Exactly. And in the midst of a conversation, I happened to look up at the screen and I see Caleb walking onto the field. And I said, this can't be right. And I was immediately taken away from the conversation and stopped paying attention to anything these people were saying and was locked into
any
what
excuse.
Was happening. Yeah. So I did not expect that to happen. So I was really taken aback. And
these people know ball?
Well, Andrew, Here's the worst part.
They never do. They never do.
Oh, no. They know ball. They know the wrong ball.
Don't say it.
Yeah. You know where this is going.
I don't think I do, but I'm excited now.
They're Packers fans.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
How can you let Chardog associate with these people in any way?
Look, we don't have a lot of...
This is the worst part about having kids. You have to... Abandon your principles.
I know what you're going to say, John. You don't have a lot of friends. That's a you problem.
Yeah,
it's not Chardog's fault that you're an asshole.
Who said it's a problem?
If you know, Sam, let's pull back the curtain a little more for the kids. If Andrew would return my texts and want to get together, I would.
Yeah, okay,
happily
fair enough. Yeah, the two of you sit around and complain about how you hate everyone you have to see, and yet the two of you can't seem to get to each other in the same room. It's actually quite stunning.
It's happened.
Like once.
Like the Olympics once every 4 years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Meanwhile, every
John's,
2 years
John's
now.
Got a stack of clothes he's been trying to give you for like 18 months.
How did I get involved in this?
Anyways, that's the picture I wanted to paint for you. So I was watching. I was completely taken aback that I saw the first team offense go out onto the field. That being said, everything that
John
I saw.
John did not get the memo.
I did not get
the memo. To be fair, John, it caught everyone off guard.
Yeah, good for Ben.
Probably
tweets,
Caleb,
quote,
too.
The quote-unquote went out on Blue Sky like an hour before the game, and all the beat writers were like, Caleb's going to play. I don't know what to tell you. We never saw this coming. So you were right to be taken aback because no one seemed to know that they were going to get one series.
I think they probably kind of – this is my guess – is A, Ben was red-assed about whatever – and B, like, you can't play Keen Kasem all 60, can you?
Like,
I mean, they had the other doofus, Yeah, but
like that's just a real waste of everyone's time.
I think Matt's right. I think the deal was that Ben was not as happy as he wanted to be with the joint practice, so he's like, "Get out there for a series and fix this," which they don't. They didn't really do.
They sort of did.
Sort of did. I only have one thought about this game.
Go on.
And I think it's an example of just how stupid football preseason is. Did you see in The Athletic today 1,600 words about one incompletion?
I've been trying to ignore that. So
a conversation piece where it was Wiederer and Fishbane. And they're doing the back and forth about
it's
one.
It's getting to the real ass end of preseason,
pass.
Isn't it?
Who cares? It's one pass.
Is this the one to Loveland?
Yeah. And it's like a huge philosophical debate. Well, I'm first and 20. We got to do this. And if he hits that, we like the. Shut up.
It's preseason.
It's
didn't count.
August. It's August. It's Andy. Just shut up. Obviously, you're starved for material because not only is it still training camp after all this time, but there isn't really a lot going on with the Bears this time.
No,
1,600 words.
None of my business.
I'm loquacious, and I looked at that and went, "You got to be fucking kidding me."
Yeah, we're out of ideas. That's what it comes down to.
This is why we're letting John drive tonight.
Yeah,
what it not all us, comes not down us. To, Slack.
The royal well, I think us.
This is kind of the bigger point that I had coming out of this game. It was well, and again, I guess today's 1,600 words in The Athletic, notwithstanding, I found it kind of refreshing that even though the first team offense played a series, it wasn't Mark Grody's. They need to score on this first drive in order to save the season. Type.
What happens, Mark, if they don't score?
Yeah, do they not have to play all 18 games?
That's in my pantheon of Slack tweets. What happens if they don't score?
It was so to me the whole thing.
They
was
did
kind
score
of,
and they sucked ass. How about that?
It was refreshing that we didn't have to just kill ourselves over these results from a really a meaningless game, and not to try like to draw big, huge conclusions over again a glorified practice game. There's nothing that you saw out of that game that will have any inkling or iota or mean anything once the ball kicks off in Carolina.
Nope.
But what my 1,600 worded thought piece presupposes
is that Loveland and Caleb are not on the same page because they couldn't hit a wide open pass in a preseason game that they probably, by the way, didn't even know they were playing in until an hour before the game.
Right. So one of the first passes between them two at like something like game speed, and it was a little off. Here's 2 days of treatises about it.
Yeah.
If it was so
also,
bad,
they got one series. Also,
I was going to say if it was so bad, they would have thrown him back out there. It's like,
right?
Just give it up, man. It's fuck off.
That's just. Oh man, God. What are we doing here?
And then you know, if God forbid they lose a game in the first one or two games, it's going to be. Like, I can't imagine what would happen if they lost the first two games of the year, including one in a dominantly blown out fashion. God, that year must have been ended up pretty bad.
It'd be like getting 1,600 words on like one power play in the preseason for the Hawks, which I'm sure we're going to get.
Absolutely.
Hopefully not from you.
Not from me. my goodness. Mercy.
My goodness.
Now, anyway, John, what else is on here?
I've got another Bears bone to pick with you, buddy.
Just me personally.
Yeah. So it came out yesterday. I think it was NFL Insider Jordan Schultz.
Oh God! Yes,
I can't keep track of all these people.
Son of Starbucks magnate Howard Schultz.
Is
that
really?
Is that a fact?
That is true.
Good Lord!
Fuck me.
Yep.
The murderer of the Seattle Supersonics, Howard Schultz.
Indeed.
And, absolutely correct. And organized labor.
About to get that on the comeback, though, it seems like.
And Connor O'Malley's muse.
Yeah, also true.
So,
anywho,
Gervon is apparently Gervin Gervon.
Please, it's Yervon.
Yervon is on the trading block, and we had a discussion on it for the kids again last night.
On the real show.
On the real show. About trading Gervon.
And by the way, before you get into that,
yep.
I haven't seen that information from literally anyone else, nor has anyone corroborated the information. Correct?
I haven't seen
it
anywhere else.
I haven't seen it anywhere else either. I mean,
Jordan Schultz reported this thing, but like I even read Biggs's like little roster breakdown, and he didn't say a word about Gervon being traded. So he tends to know that stuff too, right? Or I don't know. Anyway, go on, John. Sorry.
Yeah, I think
it's dubious.
Again, this is a byproduct of a meaningless preseason game, and this to me was the biggest thing that came out of it, is that it's even in a discussion at this point. I just find, first of all, it sounds like they are gaga over Vandenbosch, Ryan Vandenbosch.
Steve DeBerg.
Yeah, Ryan Vandenbosch.
Joran Vandersloot.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a bigger, byproduct of them being...
Butch McDeadlift.
Of really liking him. And again,
Shasta McNasty.
He played well enough, but... And again, I'm repeating the same words here, but it was a preseason game against a Bengals just whatever lineup. And so, yes, it's nice that he flashes, but it's ultimately not going to mean anything when the ball actually kicks off in Carolina. Other than the fact that he can hold his own against the Bengals C squad.
Maybe they just don't like Dexter.
Yeah, they run fast.
It could be, but at this point, I don't see why you would trade him unless you're getting blown away by some deal that you just is too good to be true. And Sam doesn't want to get all worked up about it. But you know what, buddy? I would get worked up about it if they did trade him for, like, let's say, a third round pick at this point. It seems like a very unwise move.
They just don't want to pay him. I think that maybe they've decided they're not going to pay him.
Well, that's fine. Then they just play out the season with him.
Can you name one play Gervon has made?
You are the archivist, after all.
Sam.
He's not very good.
He had a couple of plays against Green Bay last year in the Rams game. I remember he had a couple of big stops. He's fine enough. My big point is, why take off of your current roster unless you're actually going to improve this year's roster? Like, you're not at the point where you could just say, well, we're not going to sign this guy at the end of the year, so let's just get rid of him now type thing. Unless, again, like Ryan Vandenbosch is so head and shoulders better than everybody else that he's just going to rip heads off at week one. Yeah,
he might be better than Gervon.
He could be. So I guess
I think Gervon is extremely slow off the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's Vander Duty's strength.
Yeah. Okay.
He's extremely fast off the ball, apparently. And yeah, I love his highlights, but you know, it's the same thing. Like, is this guy any good? Well, here's four of the greatest plays he's ever made in his life. Hopefully that tells you.
Right.
All I see is highlights, right? They're highlights for a reason. They're the best plays.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone through the tape like the archivist.
No. Few have.
The Bears have seven other players listed as defensive tackles. Though some of these guys will be holding a squeegee soon, I'm sure.
Well, absolutely. Their rotation is going to be about four or five guys.
At least five guys.
Yeah. Gallimore,
Vandenbosch is a big weed guy in Canada now. How about that?
Vandenberg.
Good for him.
Gallimore.
Also the CTE.
Jarrett. Street. There's four right there that would play as much as Gervon will. So I don't know. You really want me to get involved with this?
No.
Well, what does it say about Gervon? That's sort of like that draft they had him and Pickens, right? That was the same draft.
Yeah.
And they're both.
And again, that's an
point.
Eberflus draft.
Well, Poles did the draft.
Right. Poles did the
draft. You're saying Eberflus was in the room making
right
now,
making recommendations.
Now I would have was told earlier that Shamar will also return at some point this year, but he might be dead.
I hear he sucks ass.
He might suck as well, but so might Gervon.
Yeah, I don't think you can count on anything from Shamar. Another bad pick.
He's on the pup list. He's not going to play until at least week five at this point. He's not coming off anyway, so.
Well,
kind of unannounced miracle.
All right, you know what? Next item on your pad.
You're over it?
I'm over it. I'm hanging the I'm not interested sign. I don't think anyone else is either.
Yeah. Well, all right,
we're
buddy.
Just listing injured guys. It's not interesting.
Right.
No, it's not.
If I got to sit here and spend 10 to 15 minutes on Gervon Dexter, I just don't like where that puts me in life. I got to be honest with you. I just can't do it. I'm down bad enough.
We don't like to hear that, Sam. Why are you down bad?
Well, that's another podcast. That could be next week before the greatest show of the year. We can go through my life.
With Guy Smiley?
Yes.
Excellent.
That's it, Sam. I don't
That's
have
your
much,
yellow pad?
Yeah, for a Bears.
A Bears yellow pad.
Yeah.
Bears yellow pad. Well, Luther and Darnell were back at practice today. Aren't you excited? Yeah.
Yes.
Did Andrew have any thoughts?
Yeah, my overarching thought on the Bears is I just think that we're looking at a Dennis Allen make or break season. I've said that before.
Wouldn't Dennis Allen have the out of having no talent if the defense sucks?
I think you can just say either make the defense good or get lost. Because
well, they're not
going
to be good. They have to be passable.
At this point, I also do think that they have a personnel issue on defense, and somebody else needs to be in the room helping them figure out who to draft, because it's just not good enough. It's just not good
well,
enough.
Well, hang on now. We haven't seen Thiedemann in a real game. He could be good. Everyone likes this Vandenberg.
Asking a lot of them.
They're absolutely asking a lot of them, but hey, that's the job. So
we'll see if Devin Bush is any good. TJ feels like a guy in his last, you know, mm-hmm. hurrah. The depth doesn't really do much for me.
No, it doesn't feel good. They're already testing it.
There's too many guys that could really be difference makers that just are never healthy.
They like this Muhammad kid.
Just get lost. It's going to take time with him. You know, he's not going to be some good, some bad, I'm sure. But
there's going to be some stupid games early in the season.
Right.
Yeah. There always is.
It's the NFL. Every game.
But there's going to be like another Bengals thing from last year, not this past week. There's going to be. You know.
I was about to say good, but I hated that game. Watching it live,
it sucked.
I
didn't enjoy it.
So upset. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Just I don't like what I see on that side of the ball, almost across the board. I'd love to be proven wrong. I just don't like it.
Well. Yeah, see, like this Vikings game, right? It's like week two. Ugh. Like that's just going to get stupid.
I want to see this Ben has the methods to beat Flores play out actually for the first time. Because last year, both games, the offense wasn't great. We're not good.
The second one, they moved the ball. They just couldn't finish.
Yeah, that's fine, but you got to finish. We talked about this in every sport. Mm-hmm. Like, and at the end of the day, like they blew a lead in that game because they couldn't finish. They
well, see,
probably should have lost.
That is my overarching study of the Bears this year. Is a game like that, how does that change this year? Do they keep moving the ball but finish to balance out the turnovers that they're probably not going to get this time? Like that's like my like that's the perfect distillation of what I'm watching to see if it's different from last year. That game, because if we go back and look at the yards or whatever, like that's a game that should have been 24-7 at half and over, right?
Yeah,
and it wasn't. It was I don't remember what it was, but it was closer than it should be. That's a game now in year two of this offense. They put three touchdowns on the board in the first half, and it's done. And then everyone can sort of pin their ears back and play one-dimensional defense and it's fine. That's the kind of thing I'd be looking for. And you'll get it in week two.
And I'm not looking forward to
it. But I have no doubt that Kyler is going to have three or four of those. Everyone's covered and he scrambles for 8 yards on third and seven and I'm putting my head through the drywall.
A tradition unlike
any other.
Yeah, I
guess we'll find out. Yep.
I'm not even sure my apartment has drywall.
I was just going to say, I thought you were a plaster home.
Yeah, we might be. I should check on that. I don't want to try and put my head through that.
Yeah,
that
don't put your head through that, please.
Yeah, that's not good. Maybe I'll just put my head out the window and yell. Especially at the guy who was doing metal work in the middle of the street at 4 in the morning the other night. All right, wait, is that your yellow pad, John?
For the Bears?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We have to have clear sections so our listeners know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so Matt could timestamp it.
No, the Spotify AI does an unbelievably bad job of doing that for
him. Great.
When it's not just completely, you know, pulling down our old episodes.
All right. Well, before we get to John's yelling at me about baseball, and folks, I have no idea what's coming, but I am excited. A brief thing I want to bring up, hockey related. I don't know why. I mean, I know why. And I'll probably address this full bore on the newsletter tomorrow. I was reading the All Three Zones guy, Corey, and he was writing a very long piece comparing Bowen Byram to one Shea Theodore.
Okay.
Do we see that?
Maybe like from a numbers perspective, but like my eye test doesn't say that. There's not the size or the snarl that Shea Theodore had.
Yeah, isn't Shea Theodore like a fire hydrant?
No.
He's pretty big.
No, Bowen Byram's the fire hydrant. Shea Theodore is pretty lanky.
See, I associate Theodore with a pretty unflashy puck moving game. He's not Erik Karlsson or anything. But he wins his battles, and he shovels the puck up to the forwards and on the move, and he gets the team up the ice that way. It's not spectacular, but it's very effective. It's very good. His metrics are outstanding. If that's all Byram was, is that $12 million? That's about 40 to 50 points a year. That's all Theodore's ever been, and on some really good teams, which this will not be.
It might actually be. Given the way contracts are about to be in general.
I mean, when did Theodore just signed? He just re-upped for 7.4 last year.
How old is he?
At 30 last year. So he's 31.
Okay, what if he was Byram's age? How much would he get?
Not 12.
Okay. 10? I'm not trying to justify it, but I'm just asking.
Because no one got 12. No one's gotten 12.
Well, McCarr's about to. And so's Hughes, but
yeah, and then those guys and Bowen Byram, same thing,
same guy. It's a totally the same thing.
Well, I don't think you understand. If you just hope they're good, then that's analysis.
And if you make snide comments like, "Oh, maybe if I traded for him, that makes the guy you traded for better and the international draft pick better."
Oh, it's not just about hoping they're going to be good. You have to say they're going to be good because they're going to be good.
And because you have the development infrastructure, I can't even complain.
No, you're getting that's not that no one considers that part. You're Darren Pang, and you just say they're gonna be good because they're gonna be good.
Because they're young.
Yeah, they're young and they're just gonna get good because that's what every young player does. But we've done this show. I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought you guys might find that interesting.
I did. Bookmark that and we'll come back and revisit.
For those who want that, remember Shea Theodore on Team Canada, the hardest team to make in sports, possibly. Other than, like, USA basketball on both sides.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Huh. Byram's listed at 6'1", 205, and Theodore's listed at 6'2", 196, for whatever.
Yeah, he's not small. Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that Theodore was a little bit beefier, but I guess not.
I mean, that's big enough.
That's average.
Okay. All right. I am ready to get yelled at about baseball, so.
Sam,
clear your throat. Yeah, get ready.
Yeah, I've got some baseball questions for you.
Uh-huh. What makes you think I have the answer? Oh, because I'm Mr. Baseball.
Yes, you are Mr. Baseball, so you would know.
I would know.
Yes. What are your thoughts on yappy third base coaches?
Oh, God.
Go sit down.
Shut up and wave your arm.
Right?
Or go cry. Who was the guy?
I think this whole thing in Arizona was crying.
So you're obviously referring to Quentin Berry yelling at the Diamondbacks dugout because the Diamondbacks pitcher was tipping his pitches.
Yes, obviously tipping his pitches. And
so it's Quentin Berry's fault.
No, it's, I mean, I understand. Like, it's fine to relay what pitch is coming if they're dumb enough to not be able to cover their tracks enough. Like, I understand that part. Like, I'm not disputing what Quentin Berry did. The issue that I have with Quentin Berry is when he keeps yapping at the Diamondbacks bench.
Yeah, baseball people are irrationally angry.
You're a coach. Just shut up.
Although I did like, is it the Cubs bench coach who started yelling at them from the dugout? He's like, if he's tipping pitches, you fix it.
Yeah.
It's not my problem. It's not my job to fix it.
I don't know. I guess I don't have an issue so much as when they're yapping at each other from each bench, but the third base coach getting yappy while he's in the box or whatever and getting like cocky about it. Just, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way.
I think you're spending too much oxygen on this.
Well, it doesn't matter. This is my baseball question for you. One of them.
Okay. Well, I thought it was silly, but whatever. But baseball men love to get irrationally angry about like the stupidest things. You see Pete Crow, I'm sure, get ejected today while on third base?
No, I did not.
Yes, yeah. But that was the most obvious balk in the history of
it
sports.
It was, but you can't be so angry about it, your teammates have to hold you back. Not when you're the MVP of the league.
They didn't get thrown out, so all's well. You know,
not for lack of effort.
Yeah, well, wouldn't have mattered anyway, Sam.
No, sure wouldn't.
All right, so that was my one baseball thing for you. And
I thought you had multiple.
I do.
Okay.
I'm gearing up for my next one for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I don't know how much White Sox baseball you watch, Sam. How much analysis
more
you dig
than
into
before? But yeah,
they are obsessed. When I say they, I'm saying White Sox coverage is obsessed with covering the amount of pitches and innings that their bullpen has thrown. And if a bullpen has thrown multiple days in a row, it is like red alert time. And you can't let a guy throw back-to-back pitches. I remember the 2020 series, the one against the Athletics. Everybody was like talking about how many pitches Liam Hendricks threw in game two and how that was going to have an effect in game three. And buddy, let me tell you, it didn't mean a damn thing. He came back the next day and threw like another 70 pitches or whatever in a 3-inning save after he threw 50 pitches in game two. I don't understand where this thought process has come from, where that bullpen guys are so fragile, that they can't throw 30 pitches on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you're
when I say 30, that's like the max. I understand. Like if you're throwing an inning, an average inning is what?
15
to 18 pitches? Yeah.
You know, John, this is an area we find ourselves in agreement. I find the coddling of relief pitchers to be maybe one of the game's biggest problems.
And they're all supposed to be interchangeable anyway. That's why you're a relief pitcher.
Tonight, I'm watching big inning as I want to do, and Nationals are getting their ass kicked. And they throw in a position player, like to pitch. And it's like, you mean there isn't one guy in the bullpen you can just say, hey, just fucking pump fastballs for two innings? Who cares?
It drives me nuts, man.
Like, he has, like, your every
They gotta
pitcher,
ban that shit.
Every pitcher in your bullpen, all eight of them, all nine of them, however many they carry. I guess they can't carry nine of them anymore. They have to be so protected, you can't send one guy out there to just say, hey, throw fastballs.
If it's that bad, let them roster another pitcher. Like, this is stupid.
It is ridiculous. And yes, John, I agree with you. Oh, he can't possibly throw 3 days in a row. You throw 60 pitches a week, bitch. Oh, yes. I can't go out there. Get out there and shut up.
And you know who doesn't subscribe? You know who is in the same boat as us and is actually quite successful at it? Both Terry Francona and still Cleveland Guardians, because they have no issue throwing out the same relief pitchers night after night. And things seem to work out just fine for them.
Yeah.
Every year.
Just get out there and pitch. I don't want to fucking hear it. You're already the worst player on the team. If you're a relief pitcher, you're by definition the worst player on the team. You failed at starting, unless you're like an all-star closer. You know, and like you've already failed. You're already failed. Like you are the back end of this. So shut the fuck up and get out there and get someone out.
Please.
If your arm can't handle, like, okay, maybe in April and you're ramping up, fine. If May through September, you can't go out there a third day in a row and get someone out, get out of my league. Who is that moron the Cubs signed for the Dodgers in 2017 or 18?
Ishmael Valdez.
No, 2018. They signed him in 2018. He pitched like all seven games in the 2017 World Series.
There was no 20. What?
The 2017 World Series, he pitched every game against the Astros. And
was it Brandon Morrow?
Yeah, Brandon Morrow.
Okay.
And then one of the big reasons Epstein and Madden had a huge fissure is because at the end of May, Madden pitched him a third game in a row. It's like, if this fucking idiot can't get out there and pitch 3 days in a row making $10 million a year. What the fuck did you sign him for?
Which he couldn't.
Which he couldn't.
He broke down immediately.
Immediately. Like, if that's all he can do, you're the problem, Theo Epstein, not Joe Madden. I'm with you, John. You're 100% correct. In fact, every reliever should be made to throw 3 days in a row.
Yeah,
you
why
pitch
not?
You pitch two games in a row, you have to pitch the next day. Oh, bane of my existence. Right there
too.
With you.
John really scratched an itch with that one. So what,
yeah, and it's bothersome that Cleveland has no issue doing it, and they're successful, and nobody wants to copy them with that.
Right. And you know what? If a reliever gets hurt, you should have three more behind it. Who
cares? That are decent enough.
Right. You can't find three other guys to throw 40 pitches a week? Fuck off.
That can get like 4 to 5, 6 key outs?
Right.
Come on.
And then, like, you know, you see everyone panicking, like, oh, God, what are we going to do with our bullpen in the playoffs? Well, first of all, three of your starters are going to end up in the bullpen in the playoffs anyway. You're going to use three other guys every game. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't know that people watch playoff baseball anymore because the Dodgers have no issue just going with basically one starter
right.
every series.
Right.
They never have any pitching
seven.
Left by the time they get to October.
Yeah, everything's right. a bullpen game for them.
And they win.
Yeah, and they win pretty easily.
Awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. Any more baseball stuff?
No, those were my two big baseball things that I needed to crack open with you.
Okay. Well, we find ourselves in agreement on one, and another one I haven't really thought much about. So there. Do we have questions? I guess we're time for the Cretans. We have a big mailbag, according to John and Slack.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got a couple, so you guys go for it.
Who's starting?
You.
Me? All right. Yeah. Do you want me to run through everything or just do one at a time?
Yeah,
we can swap.
One, yeah, do one at a time.
Send it in, Jerome. All right. Shard Circuit asks, in the wake of the news, name your favorite Tim Curry performance.
Red October.
Oh. Would not have thought of that one.
Going off board. Just kidding.
I mean, Clue is obviously that's one of the that's so chalk. I'm surprised Sam didn't pick it.
I've never seen Clue.
Wow.
There's a couple of reasons you should see Clue.
I'm sure there is. It's not like a thing I'm refusing to do. It just hasn't come up. I've only seen Rocky Horror like once.
We don't need to go any further.
What about Legend?
Yeah, I was going to say.
What about
Big Red
Ferngully?
Devil? He's the big devil.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
And was he in Jumanji or no?
I wouldn't know.
I don't think
he was
in
Jumanji. It's the TV series. That was
iconic. That's whatever.
John's wheelhouse. He was
Ferngully?
In the Yeah, I said Ferngully. Three Musketeers as Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh, fucking Richelieu.
Can I tell
bad
you
guy.
My favorite Rocky Horror
Real
story?
Bad guy.
Yes.
Go ahead, John. John, you're not John.
Go ahead, Sam.
I can be, I suppose. I believe I was in high school, senior in high school, maybe in college, and my friend Doug, who does not listen to this podcast, so I'm free to tell this story, was telling me about going to see Rocky Horror at a Rocky Horror viewing, which at the time I didn't know much about. I didn't know that these things happen regularly around town or whatever, but. So he's like, yeah, they have like a lot of, contests and games before the movie even starts. And because I was there for the first time, I had to play this game. It was called Chase the Virgin. And anyone who's been to one knows what Chase the Virgin is because you're there for the first. So he's describing what Chase the Virgin is. And we're at this coffee shop and just some random guy at another table just interrupts us and goes, oh, that's a nice game. Why don't you just play something like Chase the Jew? And my friend Doug goes, well, I'd catch him.
And?
Yeah, you were right there.
Like, so there.
And how'd that guy respond?
He was gobsmacked.
Well, that's what he gets for eavesdropping on
right,
a conversation.
Right, that's what he gets for butting in our conversation. Anyway.
You're like a child, Donnie.
What about, was he in Richie Rich? Tim Curry? Might have been.
Boy.
Bill Buckner.
That is a stretch.
All right, what's next?
All right, yep, I'm with you.
I'm with Saute.
Fantastic Mike says, in honor of Dolly, who is the Chicago sports figure that is beloved by the widest group of people?
Walter. Did you get that from Sarcastic Mike?
I did.
Okay, I got that too.
Okay.
Does it have to be living?
It can be anybody.
It can be anybody, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's Walter Payton.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty nailed-on answer. I don't think I can argue with that one. Because it's not going to be a baseball player. It's definitely not going to be a hockey player.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan has his detractors.
The only hockey player that would be even in the same universe would be Savard.
Taves, yeah, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
He'll have a rejuvenation now that he's retired.
Maybe, but Savard's no. I mean, that's just not the same conversation.
No.
Peyton feels like a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that Jordan, I feel like, has been too removed from the city at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're both obviously. You're talking about the same sort of level of athlete. I feel like there's this separation with Jordan where he's like admired and loved for what he did, but he's like, there's, it's like he was bestowed upon Chicago, where Peyton sort of feels more one of us.
Yeah. Part of the fabric. Yeah.
Well, it just also, like, this sounds crass, but it helps that he died, because he doesn't have 20 years of, like, what the fuck is this guy doing now?
And he got sick, you know, and we all sort of watched. It happened pretty quickly, but we all watched that. But even that, I mean, like, when he retired, he was still, because, like, I think what the difference is, like, Jordan wasn't really ever on a really bad Bulls team. And maybe that's because he was on it.
Well, the first 2 years were pretty bad.
The first few years, yeah, were
They were
rotten.
Like, they were like, eh, but, like, even there was a playoff season there. And one of them was bad because he broke his foot.
Right.
Yep.
Peyton was on some truly bad Bears teams where, like, he was 1-11, you know, and I think that.
Yeah, they didn't get good until the end of his career.
The Bears and the Bulls are just, they're just different things in this town.
Well, also, Michael's been nothing but antagonistic towards the franchise here.
And everybody.
And, I mean, that's, you know, the complete. Path, like, literal, probably diagnosable psychopath, but that's a different show.
And it can't be a baseball person because it's just too spoiled.
Yeah, there's no overarching. Frank's too weird.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Frank died 20 years ago, then maybe, you know.
Maybe, but, like,
but now he's
even Sox fans have a hard time warming up to Frank.
Well, he's suing the team or whatever.
Right,
like, I mean,
so.
Come on.
And according to them, he's not one of their best black players.
I mean, you know, I think Ozzy's probably as good as you can do, because I don't think the Cubs fans hate Ozzy. I don't think so.
I don't hate Ozzy.
He's too funny.
I mean, way back when the t-shirts would, you know.
I don't know. He was just so drunk. What, you know, what are you gonna get mad about? But. Anyway, my answer is Walter Payton.
I think that's
pretty thorough.
Yep.
All right, from Greedy McDonuts, what is the worst concert you have ever attended?
Metallica.
For you.
Metallica, where, when?
Load Tour, 97, Rosemont Horizon. They cut off Master of Puppets at the Waltz. They played the intro to Welcome Home Sanitarium, which is one of my favorite songs, and then turned it into Nothing Else Matters.
Jesus.
They did the whole, do you want to hear something heavy? Do you want metal? And played Sad But True.
God damn it. That is disturbing.
And that was the show where they had, like, the fake crew mishap. People might remember this, where, like, they had guys sort of falling out of the catwalks.
That was the Cunning Stunts tape.
Yeah.
That was also on there.
Just one of the most disappointing moments of my life.
Was that
luckily
that had to have been one of the last Jason shows too.
Would have been luckily Corrosion of Conformity opened, so it wasn't a total loss.
Fuck them.
If I had to do a second place, and our friend of the program, Ted, will be mad I said this, but Beck would be second place.
Where?
That was in Boston. And when? It was in Boston. It was my senior year of college.
Was this Sea Change?
Sea Change, Flaming Lips open. Never have the Flaming Lips open for you. That's a bad idea.
Oh, God.
And then they were his backing band, but he just went through the motions, man.
That's a sad bastard record.
He was sad.
Yeah, but even the other stuff, like he played a lot of other stuff, and he just, you know, like, oh, it's now is the time when I breakdance, so here's when I breakdance. Look at me breakdancing. Like, just,
Jesus.
It was bad. Look, again, Flaming Lips were great. That was the Yoshimi tour, so, you know, felt like I got my money's worth. But anyway, those are my two answers.
I think I've told this one before, but I got kidnapped to go to a Five for Fighting concert I think it was at the Riviera or the Aragon, one of the two. I don't remember. It was so bad. I think they played the one song that they're known for like at least three times during the show.
No, they just all sound like that, John.
Oh, is that what it is?
That is brutal.
He was
to the working overtime part.
This was in 2002, and so he was wearing a Hawks jersey at one point. He put it on, but I don't remember the player that he had.
It didn't matter.
Ryan Vandenbush.
He gave a shout out to the Hawks. I do remember that, and like two people cheered, and I was not one of them.
And you were not one of them. No chance.
No. He would like during one of the songs, you know, during one of the breaks when they weren't playing Superman, he started talking about the Blackhawks, and like two people piped in to cheer. And then everybody else said, who the hell are they?
Right.
That was the worst show I've ever been to. And I didn't.
Who the hell are they?
I didn't want to go, but I had no choice. And that's pretty much it. It was horrible.
For me, it would be both actually within, I guess, about, you know, a couple few yards of one another. This would have been either 2001 or 2002. Stabbing Westward at Wicker Park Fest. Dear Lord.
Wow. Yeah. You don't even have to pay for that.
Yeah. Oh, I think they're still playing there now. If you go out to Wicker Park, they're probably out there if you wanted to hear them again.
They're busking.
You know, they're busking.
And then at Sub T, and Andrew will be sad to hear this. I'm pretty sure I've told you though. Saw Cursive. They were playing at Sub T like a night or two before they were doing some street festival. And so they were obviously playing, you know, deeper cuts or whatever, but they started the show playing like an entire album they had literally just recorded and had not released. No one had heard anything from, which was, I believe that was on Mama I'm Swollen. What a lovely name. And then they played all of that. And like, because it was like, it's at Sub T, you know, you're not getting there by accident. So like, everyone's like giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like they said that we're playing all new stuff and you know, everyone's into it for the first few songs, but then it just got like, they lost everyone. And then they took a little bit of a break and they came out and played quote unquote the hits. And it was extremely obvious that Tim Kasher was like almost nonverbal drunk, which at least on stage. And then I could confirm that out front, having a cigarette after the show with him out there. So those would be my two.
I have a few, but I'll just name one. I have not been afraid to just leave a concert that sucks.
You're not afraid. Like, you weren't afraid to leave.
You leave concerts you love.
That's true. I do love leaving before encore. Because encores, you're hearing the song you already know the most. So it's like, I don't need to hear this again. I've heard it the most times.
Yeah, but also you had given yourself the Dune spice agony at the United Center and needed to get the hell out to at the Cure, if I remember correctly.
Well, there's a bit of a theme then in my story that I'm about to tell, and that's okay. But this was a long time ago. I don't remember when this piece of shit album came out, but everybody remembers the Sex on Fire era of Kings of Leon.
Just oh, yeah.
Salmon. Oh, the Sam and I, so that song got played so fucking much at the bar Sky Point that like literally when they went to Touch Tunes, like literally our friends and bartenders would like just hand me or Sam like $20 after hearing it like for the fifth time in a shift and just say, fucking fix this, cut in line.
Yeah. Make sure I don't have to hear this for 2 hours. Yeah.
Well, I remember I was, I spent the hours before this stupid concert with a bunch of people. It was Halloween, I want to say. Whatever year this was, 2005, 6? No, sorry.
A little later than
maybe?
That.
Yeah, 7 or 9, yeah, whatever.
8 or 9, yeah, somewhere in there.
My ex was out of town, called me to scream and yell about something while I was at this get-together. And then I went into a drug-induced panic attack, and then had to go to the show, and I heard maybe 5 notes and I just said fuck this and I left. I was so angry.
This is your ex-wife?
Yes.
She also called to yell at you about something during US Ghana in 2014.
If I was out of the house, I was getting called and getting yelled at.
Kings of Leon is pretty much playing every winter classic, right?
For yeah, that's all they can do now.
Yeah, a decade.
It's hard to remember that, like, the first Kings of Leon album's actually pretty good.
And I won't go back and listen to it, but I know it was
absolutely
good.
Absolutely not.
It's yeah, that's, I also had a similar experience. This was post-breakup, pre-Emily, but I was really in a dark place, and my friends convinced me to go see Japan Droids, and I don't know if anybody
knows
Japan Droids. They're very, very upbeat young men, and they were doing some celebration rock, and I was,
you were not in the mood.
Hell with this shit. And I just said fuck
also,
this and
folks
left.
I just want to know, when Slack was in that very dark place, that's when I saw him the most.
Yes,
that's, so that's when Slack and I got through it together. So anyway,
we look back fondly now.
We do. Pizza slices at 2 a.m. in Brooklyn, that old thing.
Oh yeah.
So all right, do you have anything left, Slack? Is that it?
I could do one more.
Yep.
From Northside Pat, favorite and least favorite sports broadcaster ever, so anyone could be eligible.
Both of them
this.
Are Pat Foley.
Well done.
Wait, favorite and least favorite, or just least favorite?
Yeah, both.
Oh, boy. Both of them were bad. I mean, that's a pretty solid answer, I gotta say. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of, like, who really just...
He went from Penthouse to Mute Lounge.
I mean, that's kind of the fall off from Benetti to this fucking goof.
Oh, you know, my least favorite by far is the dope that they got on.
I'm going to go to hell for this, and that's fine. And in fact, I think one of Matt's friends didn't speak to me for like 5 years. Ron Santo was my least favorite broadcast.
You got into a very public argument with Sarah Spain on Twitter
about this when he died.
I feel like we should limit it to play-by-play, but I guess if you want to include.
Yeah, I mean, just pure, as on a pure broadcasting level, I hated listening to the Cubs on radio. And, like, Ron Coomer isn't good, but, like, now he's not bad enough to ruin Pat Hughes for me. But, oh, God, I hated Ron Santo on the broadcast. Not only was he terrible, he kind of represented everything I hated about the Cubs and being a Cubs fan. That doesn't mean I should have cheered his death like I did, but... I was young and stupid back then, so he'd probably be up there if not the one. Favorite? Oh, geez, I don't know. There's a lot of I really liked Len and JD. I thought they were really good, and they're in your house every day. But yeah, that's I guess that's what I'll say.
All right, John, you already said Schlieflin is your worst.
Yeah, that dope. Get him out of here. Get him upstairs. Get him out of here. Whatever these catchphrases that he's trying to do, they're just so bad. The only good part about it is that this bit that we have going, that it's Andrew's guy. That's the only good part of it, is the bit of Andrew.
Well, ever since all our teams decided to go to these niche fucking networks that nobody wants to pay for, you don't hear anything about them anymore. And that goes for like almost every team. It's not a Sox exclusive thing. It's Bulls, Hawks, Sox, Cubs. Like you just, if you don't subscribe,
onions.
You're just like spared from everything.
I don't know if he's my favorite. I know during football season, the once a year when I and Eagles on a Bears game, that's a good day for me.
Well, hopefully they've graduated out of the Spiro Didi sphere.
Right. Who's the in the number two broadcast on Fox? Who is that?
The number two?
Benetti.
Yeah.
Isn't it Burkhart?
No,
Burkhart's in one.
Burkhart's in one.
Now that Buck and Aikman are.
Or Joe Davis?
Is it Joe Davis?
He sucks.
I think it's interchangeable. Like yeah, Joe Davis or even Kenny Albert, I feel like, might be up there some years.
Definitely
you know what, though?
I think it's Kevin Kugler, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. This past year, when it was Burkhart and Brady, Burkhart was unbelievable
for some of the big moments. I thought he was incredible.
When Burkhart and Brady showed up for that Saturday night game against the Packers, it was like, this feels big time. You know, like okay, yeah, it is a Saturday night, and like of course it should feel, but like it really did. And his call of DJ Moore's touchdown
is Amin and Olsen now. I think they're the
is Amin that high?
I think Amin's the B crew now.
I thought Benetti was with Greg Olsen with G-Reg. But I think it's interchangeable.
He did a couple because Benetti or because Amin was like had Bulls conflicts. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Burkhart and Brady are so far ahead of Nance and the dope Romo. Oh,
he's on leave, so
yeah.
Right, he's on leave now. But Nance sucks too.
Yeah, Nance.
You know, Tirico and Collinsworth are bad. Aikman and Buck I like, but you know, Burkhart and Brady.
Tirico. Collinsworth ruins the whole thing.
Burkhart and Brady. I think Burkhart's really good. I thought Brady was much better. We're talking about favorite and least favorite, but so you know, I. But you know Sam what, Matt's right. Bonus. Pat Foley's the answer to both, and then let's get out of here.
Pat Foley, my favorite, least favorite. I was gonna say Chip Carey, but I actually think it's fucking Zach Zaidman. That guy,
the legendary Harry.
That make guy that his sucks. Son Chip.
Make that his pappy.
Zach Zaidman is
terrible. I've noticed Connor McKnight has replaced Triffin the past couple of days. Is he any better?
Yes.
Fine. Yeah. Well, no,
and he brings the best out of Stone. Like Stone is actually paying attention.
I mean, he's
to
getting
things.
The job full time next year, right?
You would. Hope
I would think
so.
I would think that they're going to probably shift it to him. If we haven't talked about it, I'm going to talk about it now. But I'm pretty sure Schifrin is doing a Costanza where he's trying to get himself fired or not re-signed.
Stink.
Literally driving the World Series trophy attached to his car through the parking lot by doing these food broadcasts on away games with Dan Plesac when Benetti was specifically told not to do food stuff anymore.
Not to do bits.
And not only is he not doing food, he's not – like it's one thing if you're doing food stuff at the home park because you're selling the food for your home fans to come – and check it out. He's doing the food menu from Tampa or from Arlington.
Well, the thing is, too, and again, let's just say that the White Sox are very, very fortunate among all the other bullshit they've gotten themselves into did not make any Americans with Disabilities Act violations with some of the things that, you know, Benetti was rumored to have been told to correct. During his
My name is John Schifrin. I fear no reprisal. All right, John, you've got a few, yeah?
No, I don't have any.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
No, I just saw on the feeds that that the boys, everybody else did.
I have a couple. Sarcastic also posted a mine, so Amy's favorite, our guy, I didn't realize his name was actually Big Dog Jones. Dong Jones.
Dong
Jones.
Have you seen There Will Be a New Queens of the Stone Age album, and will you be listening to it? Yes, I'll be listening to it, but the first two singles I've heard don't impress me much.
My thoughts on the matter are the way Josh Homme has been trending, I think that he and Matt Skiba of Alkaline Trio could pen a record that has some of the worst pun song titles on it that may, in fact, kill God.
And last but not least,
but yes,
our
of course
guy.
I'll listen to it.
Of course I'll listen to it. And I'll go see them when they tour because I've never seen them play Threes and Sevens live, and I have
they
to
were just
taste
here
the
opening for Andrew.
Yeah, well, I'm not
going to
go see them open for Foo Fighters at Soldier Field, am I?
God. Ugh.
Finally, our guy Dave Melton.
And finally.
exclamation point. Fire Corner. How legitimate is the team this year? Pretty legitimate, but they're not going to win MLS Cup, I wouldn't think.
They lost their best defender, so I would
he
say...
might come back, though. Now they've adjusted the timeline. He might be back.
All right.
But they should at least win a round. They could probably throw a scare into Inter Miami, maybe.
What about
but
this
they're legit.
Nashville outfit?
This Nashville outfit's really good.
I'm sick of this city having sports teams that are worth a damn. It's bullshit.
It is terrible. At least the football team sucks.
That's true.
Yeah, but they're looking hot, though.
I haven't seen exactly when they plan on opening McDonald's Park.
It's definitely at least a couple years.
It's 28, but I don't know if that means it's going to be
the one right by me
through.
Is open 24 hours a day, Sam. I don't know what
very,
you're talking
very
about.
Good. Very good.
Hey,
well played. Hey, comedy bits right here.
Shecky McClure.
He's going to get fired by the White Sox too. Yeah, it's, they're legit. They're worth checking out if you have Apple already. Yeah, they're and they're fun. They play a fun style, so you should. They're legit. That's for real. I think that's everything. Matt, you said you didn't have.
I got a couple here. Hawks Corner, the armored loincloth. Do you or have any of you ever played in a band? I can say for myself personally, no.
Yes,
I have
done in grade
no
school
musical
and high school.
Whatsoever.
Oh, I didn't have any musical talent, but I played in a band.
Played what?
Drums.
Oh boy. Sam's
I wasn't
drums.
Any good at it.
Sam's drums, yeah. Sam, I imagine it being about the same as Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day. My problem is that I couldn't unlink my limbs. You know, you have to do one thing with your right hand, another thing with your right foot.
Yeah, that's why you were like
I kept trying to fit them in together, and that's not how you play drums. So yeah. But it was fun.
Do you try
no band for me.
Going open like Ringo?
Not exactly.
We're talking marriage or what are we talking about?
No,
here?
Ringo rather than doing
I'm
traditional...
joking.
Yes.
what are we doing here?
All right.
Ringo's open marriage.
Yes.
That's gonna be our next God damn it, Slack. We're gonna get a question next week from someone who's tagged themselves Ringo's open marriage now.
I hope so. If you made it this far.
Right.
And lastly, Bobby Otter, a longtime guy, if Sam quits the podcast, which you should because the podcast is awesome, yeah, we'll see. Will the rest of you just have an AI Sam replace him, or will Killian be called up to the show? You mean
Killian knows this?
No, we'll never call up Killian. By the way, I do. I want to thank all the kids and Cretans that reached out to send nice messages.
All five of them?
Yes, when Sam quit the podcast...
He's still threatening, by the way.
He's still threatening, but we showed him all the messages, and he's slightly impressed and feels a little bit better about it. But yeah, keep sending your love. Every bit helps.
Actually,
and your comedy bits.
I was just gonna say, what would help more if you would send Sam money?
It would help.
To pay for the newsletter.
You can hit the tip jar on my newsletter.
But no, Killian will never replace anyone on this show.
He had his chance, and he got a wife and children out of the first go-around with it. He's not
right.
Going back.
Yeah, he's cashed out his chips at more on a level than we ever will. All right. We'll be back next week. Oh, next week is like the go-home show before the big extravaganza following.
Correct.
For John, for Matt, for Slack, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. And I just don't say this. I really need you guys to do that. Because the only way I can market the newsletter especially is by word of mouth and sharing it. Just send out emails. Like my guy Mike Tanier, the only reason John knows about that newsletter is because I told him to read it. And he loves it.
It's the best one out there, other than yours.
Thank you. No, his is better. It's about football, which I know nothing. So, Until next week, which is the Go Home Show. That's what we're calling it. And I don't know what we'll do for it, but that's what it is. Top guys, out.